The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 28. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Thank you, Di, very much. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Preaching's an interesting business. I wonder whether you think that. I'm just going to move a little bit nearer, if that's okay. When I started out in ordained ministry, and particularly the sort of churches in which I grew up, preaching had a very particular focus. It was effectively teaching. It was information. It was very good. It was truth, and we're familiar with that. And we do a lot of that here at Christchurch. Hopefully you appreciate that. There are other times when preaching is slightly different. And there's a sense, a particular sense, growing sense, in our sort of church, if I can put it that way, globally, where the preaching is one part of God encountering his people. And I know this varies from week to week. I'm going to talk a little bit more about encounter next week as we spend 3 weeks in this one specific passage. But one of the things I'm discovering is that both in terms of the sung worship and also the teaching ministry of the church, different people respond in different ways. It's one of the reasons it's great to have different preachers. It's great to have male and female voices. It's great to have people who bring this focus and that focus to the preaching ministry. And even within one's own ministry of teaching and preaching, there are times when the emphasis is slightly different. And many of you weren't here last week because you were pounding the streets of Bristol, raising. We've not had the official figure, but informally I'm told that yet again, Love Running, that's just the Christian, as it were, church part of the Bristol 10K, raised over £100,000 for Syrian refugees and other needy things. So if you took part in 10K, if you supported and prayed for and sponsored people doing 10K, that's been the most extraordinary achievement. Last week, I just touched on two things, really, and gave time for people to hear from the Spirit. I'm going to try something similar again today. Very, very simple points. And then I've got a couple of more teaching things to do towards the end. The first thing I want to talk about is Jacob's journey. We may be able to get verse 10 back up on the screens if you've got your own Bible. You might want to switch it on or open it if you're my sort of age. But in verse 10, we see that Jacob was on a journey from a specific place to a specific place. And that journey between those two specific places was interrupted by a stop at what the Bible simply calls a certain place. The specific place Jacob is leaving is Beersheba. The specific place to which he's going is Haran. And then he came to a certain place. I think that's Bible speak for any old place. There was nothing specific that made Jacob stop. But what happened in encounter with God made it a place to which he would return. Made it a place which was forever to Jacob a special place, a sacred place. You may have heard people say, that place is a thin place. They say it about Lindisfarne and Iona and other places. Places where you go because of the worship and the prayer and the sense of people encountering God. There is something of a thinness to the place. I don't know whether you ever heard people say that. So Jacob is leaving a specific place, he's going to a specific place, he comes to a certain place, and God speaks a specific word. And as I prepared this week, my sense was that there are two things. For some people, there is the whole question of life's journey. Are you going somewhere? Bob Dylan, who I spend quite a lot of time listening to, once wrote in one of my favorite songs, people don't live or die, people just float. Do you know your life's destination? Do you know your life's purpose? And I had a second sense that actually, and this has been refined as I've been here this morning, that it may well be that this is a word for visitors here this morning. We're blessed as a church, aren't we? Nearly every week we have people visiting. They may be visiting a specific person or family. They may just be here. And I'm always intrigued when I meet people at the door at the end of a gathering and they say, we're just visitors. I always say there's no such thing as just. Maybe some of you need to hear that. You are never only just something. Isn't it funny how often we say, I'm just a vicar. I'm just a visitor. I'm just a, actually, in God's sight, nobody is just anything. Everybody is special. But I often say to people at the door, what brought you here this morning? And I'm amazed increasingly, and this may be in other churches as well, but the people often can't give a specific reason. They'll say something, I'm not really sure. We had three visitors here just the other week, and two of them I don't think had ever been to church before. One used to sing in the choir, and they said, we woke up this morning, we just thought we wanted to go to church. I think one of them wanted to go, and the other two came for moral support or something like that. And I just wonder whether there's some visitors here this morning. And maybe you don't even know it, just like Jacob didn't know it. You had maybe a sense that this is where you were, this is where you're going, and this Christchurch Clifton for you is just any old place. You may be in Bristol for the weekend, and this is just the church that you saw, or you're near, or something, and you're here, and it's a certain place. It's any old place. And it may just be that God has a specific word for you this morning. So if you're familiar with the language of God's speaking, or even if you're not, I just want to encourage you, if you have that tickle in your spirit, as I sometimes call it, where you just sort of know that what the guy at the front is saying is actually something for you, will you just, if you can, raise that expectation for God's specific word for you this morning on your journey? from your specific place to your specific place whilst you're in this certain place. And if you feel God does speak to you, either through prayer ministry at the end, and by the way, we'll have particular prayer ministry for those who are still coming to terms with the fact we don't have 12 basketfuls of leftover chocolate. There'll be prayer ministry for that. But there's prayer ministry for all sorts. God can be speaking to you right now. Or it may be that you turn to somebody at the end, or you come forward for prayer ministry for that specific word. And one question I asked last week that drew quite a response, I've had quite a lot of response, both at the moment as people were leaving, and then during the week. And the question was about living under the power of prophetic blessing. Jacob was able to live his life because of what was spoken to him, and that's why I've included it in the reading, from his father Isaac. A blessing that had come from God through Abraham to him down the generations and still comes to us. And so my question was, are you living under a prophetic word of blessing? Are you sitting under a specific word of blessing from God? Or are you sitting on a specific word of blessing? And there's a huge difference. If you're sitting under God's specific word, that means you are allowing that word to shape and govern and direct and lead the way that you live. If you're sitting on it, then actually there's a sort of repression of that word. You've maybe received it, maybe things haven't worked out as you hoped, and you're just sitting on it. A number of people last week responded to that. One person knew that actually they'd had a word spoken over them a number of years ago. And that was the moment that God released it. Now that's something that isn't a teaching moment. It's a spirit moment as the Spirit comes. And so I'm just going to take 30 seconds, a minute, and stop talking. And ask the same question to you again this week. Are you living under God's prophetic word for you, or are you sitting upon it? Let's just be still. Allow God's Spirit to speak. If nothing comes to you, please don't worry. Just pray for those around you that God might speak to them. Okay, second little phrase, the setting of the sun in verse 11. The reason Jacob stopped in that certain place was because the day had ended, the sun had set. Or to his Hebrew mind, the day was about to begin. I don't know that you've picked that up from Genesis, when God creates the world in the Genesis account. The days go, there was evening, there was morning. The first day, there was evening, there was morning. The second day, that's why the Jewish Shabbat, the Sabbath, goes from the evening through to sunset the next day. We in the Protestant West and North have the sense, that, if you like, that we do our work, whether it be for God or whatever, and as a reward, we get rest at the end. We've got that sense, haven't we? It's in our poetry, it's in our literature, the idea that you work hard during the day and then you get blessed with the reward of rest at night. The Hebrew sense is totally different. You begin the day at your most vulnerable, in sleep, with God's blessing of rest upon you. And from that, you rise then to serve and to work. And so there's this natural rhythm that's established in creation. And mostly, we still keep to it. And it strikes me, I've always been strongly believed in this, that there's a natural rhythm to things. And my second point is to ask the question, on what is the sun setting for you? This is significant in church life, because the reality of church so often is that we stand up on Sunday and we preach resurrection, and then for the rest of the week we practice resuscitation. It's absolutely true. Think, if you're familiar with church, think about the number of things that should have come to the end of their natural life and are kept going. We could not possibly stop what would so-and-so think who started it if we now stopped? And you know, some of the stuff we've got to do in churches just and in our lives is lay things down when the sun is setting. I had a beautiful example, Jackie and I, it was a real privilege for us. We went to the last ever meeting of Monday Fellowship, which is just the most gorgeous gathering of elderly people in a home just in the parish. Nellie and the team have just been doing the most beautiful work among these people, faithful prayer, and it's just glorious. And they recognize it's come to an end. It's been going so many years, I'm convinced originally it was a youth group. Because it's just extraordinary. Listening to 101-year-old Joyce talk about her memories of Monday Fellowship. Just beautiful. But one of the most beautiful things was there was no bitterness, no resistance. There was just as people gave testimony around the circle. We had some of the people who've come in to speak over the years, like Rosemary Barker and Charles Kinsey, all these people who've just supported and nurtured that group. And yet there was a recognition the time has come. We're not going to practice resuscitation. We're not going to keep something artificially alive. We're going to allow the sun to set. And part of what allows the sun to set on that is actually the growth of our midweek gathering, the 11 on Wednesdays. And that resurrection, if you like, that new life. And several of them reference, we can allow the Monday Fellowship to go because we've now got this. So whether you are asking the question in your own life, and some of you, there'll be something in your life you just need to lay down because the sun is setting on it. There may be areas of church life that the Lord reveals to you that you're involved in, and the sun's setting. Can you allow the sun to set so that a new dawn will rise? Again, just 30 seconds or so of quiet, a minute just to think. Just ask the Spirit, where is the sun setting? What do I need to lay down? Okay, if you have a sense of God speaking about stuff to do with Christchurch where the sun is setting, please do tell us. If you want to share that with somebody at the end, or if you want to pray with somebody about something that is personal to you where the sun is setting, then do follow that up. Okay, I want to do two last things. They're a little bit more teachy. And the third is just to do with this word gateway. This is none other than the gateway to heaven. That's Jacob's experience. I love the fact that Jacob arrives in this certain place unaware that he is accompanied, and he leaves it aware that he is accompanied. Okay, Jacob arrives in this certain place unaware that he is accompanied, but he leaves it aware that he is accompanied. I'm going to spend some more time next week looking at what God says in the encounter, but one of the things God says is, I will never leave you. God says that a lot. Some of you may need to know he says that to you right now. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're facing, I will never leave you. Jacob arrives unaware that he's accompanied. He leaves aware that he's accompanied. Actually, that's not a bad definition of conversion. And I want to think a little bit about Thy Kingdom Come. Just to encourage me, will you brandish your flyer? Yes, that one that's folded up in the bottom of your handbag or purse or whatever. Have you all got one of these? I hope you have. The Thy Kingdom Come flyer to tell you what we're going to do. And very unusually, I would very rarely do this. I'm actually going to just talk a little bit about this. If you're not aware of it, Go to their website, see the video from Justin Welby. We showed it a couple of weeks ago. But I want to talk to you about what we're doing in Thy Kingdom Come. Because Gateway is about meeting God. And most of us here today, some of us will be here without Christian faith. And actually, that's one of the most exciting things, to have people here who haven't yet met Jesus. But most of us are here. We come along on Sundays because we've met Jesus. We know that it's the most valuable thing. We know that Jesus changes everything. And the whole challenge of Thy Kingdom Come is to pray for more to know that. So I hope we don't really need any incentive to get involved. But this is what we're going to do. It's a period of 11 days, from Ascension Day, 25th of May, through to Pentecost, the 4th of June. Under the New Covenant, we know that Jesus is the meeting place. And so the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have said to us, will you, as Christians, and this has now gone global, you can look at the map where people have signed up, will you pray for people to come to know Jesus? And there are various ways of being gateways. You might think of the work we support in Romania that we've heard about earlier, the Emmanuel Hospice, the palliative care, the Falcon camps in Wales, and so on. So what we're going to do is a number of things. We're going to organize daily prayer in Jacob's Well, 7 a.m., 12 noon, 7 p.m. Nearly all those slots, there will be somebody in there, and you'll see on the back of your flyer that we have focused the different slots on different spheres of life, whether it's business or education or media or whatever it is. And we've got somebody who is involved in the life of our church family who's also involved in that sphere of the city's life. We know that many of you will be away. The archbishops have obviously chosen this over a half-term period. Well, that's because Ascension Day and Pentecost. Wherever you are, you can follow this rhythm. Doesn't matter whether you can make it into Jacob's Well. And the key thing is that we're praying for specific people to come to know Jesus. And I suggest the best way to do that is ask the Holy Spirit to supply the names. To say to the Spirit, who in my life, who in my workplace, who in my neighborhood, who in my family do you want me to pray for? So that's the first thing we're praying for, specific names of people to come to faith. Secondly, to pray for our own witness. We're going to have various central things which we're organizing. We're going to suggest that on Wednesday, the 24th of May, that's the day before this, that if you can, you spend a day doing some sort of fasting to release you to pray for how you're going to use this 11 days. Then on the day itself, Thursday 25th of May, at 7 a.m., we're going to have a prayer breakfast, and particularly praying for politics and the general election. That evening, Tim and others are organizing prayer walking around Clifton. And for the small groups that are meeting in that week, that's the week before half term, could we encourage you, please, to think about prayer walking your local area? If you're in a small group, and if your leader's not here, then this week when you meet with them, you say, what about that week before the week of prayer? Why don't we prayer walk our neighborhood? Sunday the 28th of May, there are two Sundays within this period. I'd love to invite you all, 5 a.m., we're going to have a prayer event at the observatory. Should you do hands up? No, maybe not, that might be, yeah. 5 a.m. at the observatory. I'm inviting other local churches to join us. Woodies have responded, Hope have responded, various spheres have responded. So we're going to have a prayer event up at the observatory and hopefully come back here for breakfast. Our focus in our gatherings will be prayer. And after the 5 that evening, we're going to be having some worship and prayer that will take us through to 11 o'clock at night. And Sunday, the 4th of June, you can see that as well. So the reason for doing that is just to say we want to take this seriously. Every single one of us can be involved in this. Every single one of us, whether we can come to the events organized or not. Okay, last thing. Can I invite the musicians and the band to go back up onto the stage? Last week, if you were here, you might have been really confused because I handed out a little bit of paper, the other bit of paper, that you've got. I know you've got lots of paper, and I'm sorry for that. But the other bit of paper is called Declarations for Bristol. I just want to tell you a little bit about something I'm involved in. And it's just a gathering of city leaders. We had our first gathering to pray, 7 a.m. The other morning, Silas Crawley has done a great job in gathering people together. And it was just the most incredibly moving thing to gather many of the leaders that I'd not met. before. They're not in my Anglican networks. They're not in my New Wine networks. I knew some of the faces, didn't know others. This sense of church leaders coming together, and we spent an hour praying. We're going to do it every month. And as part of it, we read together these declarations. Now, I'm not going to read the opening bit, but I'd encourage you sometime today just to look at what your city church leaders are believing. It was incredibly moving to read what we declared together as church leaders, how we would honor one another, how we would work together, how we would seek to equip and resource one another. And then we ended by speaking prophetically these final declarations over our city. All of these are prophetic words that the Church of Bristol believes God has given for our city. Doesn't matter whether it's Anglican, black majority churches, any flavor, this is what we believe. And I thought it'd be powerful if we, as part of our living under prophetic blessing, like Jacob did, if we stood and we're going to lead back into sung worship to close. But I want us to stand together and join and declare these things over our city. Is that okay? Good. Let's stand. So we're simply going to declare together. If you've got them, do try and make sure if somebody around you doesn't have the city declarations, that people can see them. And we're going to declare the ones that begin Bristol. So just the number of things that what we believe God has spoken over Bristol. So let's proclaim this with as much faith in our hearts as we can muster, that this is God's truth. This is the way God sees our city. This is what is true about our city. Then Sophie and the choir and the band will lead us back into sung worship, after which Tim will bring us into land. So we declare, Bristol, you are a city of hope and love. Bristol, you are a city of faith. Bristol, you are a city of healing. Bristol, you are a city of reconciliation. Bristol, you are a city of life and freedom. Bristol, you are a city of sanctuary. Bristol, you are a city of welcome. Bristol, you are a city of creativity. Bristol, you are a city of resource. Bristol, you are a city of pioneers. Bristol, you are a city of mission.